So I've been in a series, as you guys have heard me say for the last several months, in this book of Matthew, this incredible gospel, good news message that he has given to us through the book of Matthew. And it's a Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at, but we've been looking at it going backwards because I'm kind of a backwards kind of guy. So we've been looking at it from the standpoint of Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. It says, therefore, Jesus speaking, saying, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. And it's this whole idea of hearing the words of God and then putting them into practice. It's easy to listen, but it's more difficult, it's more challenging, it's more actually fulfilling and more gripping to put these words into practice. This morning, I'm looking at, you know, this sounds silly, it's a really difficult passage, to be real honest. It's actually the core of our Christian faith. It's literally at the very heart of why we are here and how we are here. And yet it's one of those things that we struggle with so badly, and it's one of the things that puts a stumbling block in the midst of so many people's lives, because it's right there before us. And Jesus does not mince words about this aspect of our Christian lives. So in order to get into this, we're going to back up a little bit further, all right? So Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this, and you can pray along with me. He says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's an awesome prayer, isn't it? Man, we need to be teaching that to our little kids and our older kids. We need to have that as a part of our daily lives in an incredible way. But the most amazing part of that prayer, as you look at it in Matthew chapter 6, is at the end of that prayer, of all the different aspects that Jesus is teaching us to pray about, our daily bread and all these different things, the one aspect of that prayer that he gave to us, that he taught us, that he felt like he needed to expound on and explain a little bit deeper and a little bit further, is this one aspect where he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. You see, all the things about the daily bread, Father in heaven, his will, and all these different things, the most difficult part is that little passage. And it's important. As a matter of fact, it's probably the most important aspect of our Christian faith. And one of the things that we try to ignore and push out of the way more than anything else. Jesus says, after the Lord's Prayer, this is what he says in verse 14. And I want you to grab hold of these words very closely, all right? It says, Jesus says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. Did you hear those words? And Jesus says, this is not just my words. He says, I implore you, I command you to put this into practice. Now, this is hard. This is really hard. This is difficult. And the reason this is so difficult is because I don't know. Nobody knows the things that have happened in our lives, in your lives. The hurt, the anger, the frustration, the pain, the things that people have done to you in times that I have no idea about, and some things I can't even imagine, the pain and the hurt that people have gone through. And so when people hear these words that we need to forgive even the grievous, most horrendous, horrific, horrible pain that we have ever endured and has been done to us, and he says that we are to forgive that, some people balk at that and say, no, that's impossible. It cannot be done. I cannot forgive. I won't forgive. There's a real danger in that heart of what's going on there. And I'm not dismissing that in any way, shape, or form. I am not. Because I realize that those pain, that hurt, that anger, that frustration, that can never seem to be in our own minds ever covered over. But it can. You see, the blood of Jesus is powerful and strong enough and big enough to cover any and every sin, all hurt, all pain. Jesus is able to. We have to allow him to do that, though, in an incredibly powerful way. This is not the only spot that Jesus says these words. This is not the only place in God's word that it says we need to forgive so that we can be forgiven. You see, it's not the idea that we have the power to hang on to forgiveness from someone else. It's really the realization of how great and how large and encompassing God's forgiveness truly is. That's the true concept that is going on here. It's not the power for me to hold back forgiveness. It's my realization of God's amazing forgiveness that's really at stake here. That there is no way. There is nothing too great that God cannot bring forgiveness into your life. Now, sometimes we get the idea, wrong idea of what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. First of all, we have to understand that forgiveness is not conditional, all right? Let me explain that a little bit, because it seems like that's going exactly opposite of what this passage is talking about. It seems like it is conditional according to that passage, but it's not. Forgiveness is not conditional. It's not, if you do this, then I'll do that. Okay? It's not conditional. Forgiveness is one of those things that God says, forgiveness, I'm covering you over. I'm covering this sin over with the blood of Jesus. It is completely forgiven. It's not conditional. It's not if I do this and you do that, and if you do this, I do that. It's not that way. Forgiveness is offered completely and totally through the blood of Jesus as an unconditional. There's nothing you can do to earn that forgiveness. Understand this. There's nothing I can do, and we've got to get this in our heads. There's nothing I can do to earn the forgiveness that God has offered to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. That condition, that forgiveness is absolutely free. It is a free gift. And so many times we can't get that through our mind, that this amazing gift of forgiveness for our sins is a gift of God, because God is gracious and forgiving. It's a part of his nature. It's who he is. It's what he wants to give us. It's his greatest gift that he gives to all of mankind who accept that gift through Jesus Christ. By faith and by faith alone. There's nothing that I can do. We need to understand that. And forgiveness. Forgiveness. How do I say this? Forgiveness is not resuming a relationship the way it was. Let me explain that a little bit. Forgiveness, when I forgive, it's not saying that I go right back into the relationship the way that it was. If there was a hurt, if there was a sin, if there was hardness, if there was pain, if there was something done to me in such a way that there needs to be forgiveness, that does not mean I jump right back into that relationship in the exact same way. A couple weeks ago, Diane's not here this morning. It kind of disappoints me. So a couple weeks ago, I did a sermon illustration. Actually, it was Nathan. You got me in trouble. It was Nathan's sermon illustration. Yeah, he's like this. It was his sermon illustration. I was talking about the milk money. You remember that? The kid was always stealing my milk money, and I said at the end of that illustration, you know, I just need to not judge him. I need not to condemn him, and just let it go, and you know, don't worry about it. He's taking my milk money. It's not really my milk money anyway, so on and so forth. Well, Diane came up to me afterwards. She says, "You know what?" She goes, "I agree with that illustration." She says, "But we need to talk, because it's not doing good if you just continue giving him your milk money day after 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 day. You're not doing any good continuing to allow him to continue to sin in your life over and over and over and over again. At some point in time, there needs to be a separation. There needs to be a stop. There needs to be a line in the sand that is drawn that you say, no more." And so when you give forgiveness, now you can forgive, but you don't have to resume and continue in that abusive relationship in such a way that it's going to continue to bring harm and pain in your life. Do you understand that? God isn't saying, "I want you to just give me a wallflower." He doesn't say, "I want you to be a punching bag over and over again." He says, "You know what? You need to forgive and allow yourself the opportunity to get into a right relationship with that person in some way, shape, or form." And sometimes that right relationship with some people is to say, "Stay away for now." And that's okay. And God understands that. He gets that. You see, forgiveness is not a license to be in constant pain. And it's okay to draw boundaries in some of those relationships, because sometimes people don't get it. And there have been people who have been in abusive relationships for years and years and years and years and years. And God is not wanting that for your life as well. But he does need us and ask us, not just ask us, he commands us to forgive. And it's not the forgiveness for that other person. It is forgiving that other person, but that forgiveness is not necessarily for them. It's literally from you, because the forgiveness that we hang on to and do not allow other people to have puts us in our own little prison. It's not harming them, it's harming us. And God recognizes that in such a way that he recognizes that he does not want you to live life in such a way that you are imprisoned to your unforgiveness, to a hardened heart. And it truly does happen. The more we hang on to that anger and that frustration and that unforgiveness, the more it affects the other person, the more it affects us. Our own mindset, our own heart, our own desire, and what God really is calling us to be and what he's calling us to do. And it's much more than the circumstances that we find ourselves in. He's calling us to something so much bigger. Forgiveness. And this drives me a little bit crazy. It's that whole little cliche that people put in together. Forgive and forget. Yes, thank you. Katie just rolled her eyes. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Okay? It's not. Because the truth cannot be forgotten. Actually, the truth should not be forgotten. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is the idea of replacing it. Replacing it with our actual truth. Okay? Hang with me here. Now, when we say forgiving and forgetting, it's like forgetting the offense. We can't forget the offense. But we can replace that offense. We can replace that memory. We can replace that with a greater truth. You know what the greater truth is? You know what the greater truth is? That we should never, ever, ever forget. No matter what has been done, no matter what has happened,
no matter how hard it's been or how unfair it was or how painful it was, no matter what the circumstance that needs forgiveness, no matter what happened, no matter what happened, no matter what they did and the intention that they had in that action that they did to us, no matter what it was, they may have intended it for evil, but God will use it for good. We need to remember and not forget the greater truth of God's word. My most favorite passage in all the Bible. Romans 8:28, guys. Listen to me. For God will cause all things to work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I will never forget that, no matter the circumstance. Wow. Some of you are thinking right now, man, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what abuse he took on. I don't know what pain he's dealing with right now. You know what? There's none. You know why I'm hurting so bad? Because I look out and I see and I hear so many stories, and I'm looking at them right now and I see the pain in some of your eyes right now, and I recognize that there is such hardness of heart in so many different ways, and I need you to hear the truth of what God's word says. He says, no pain that you have, no circumstance that you have endured is greater than the truth that I'm telling you right now, that I will use this for good. Look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. When Joseph was put in prison, he was thrown in a well, he was left for dead, he was put in prison, he was done all these things, and there was never a bitterness in his heart because he recognized that God was going to use all those stinking circumstances, all those horrible things that happened to him through his brothers, through his family, through his employer, through all these different places. He recognized the truth of God's word that he will use it for good if we will allow him to. If we will let these pains go, if we will allow this hurt to go away, if we will look to him and trust in his word that he is in control. He is in control. Do you hear me? He is in control, and there is nothing, there's nothing in this world that he wants more than to bless you and encourage you and to lift you up. You see, that's why he sent his son Jesus, so that the blood of Jesus will cover all of our indiscretions, so that he can use you as a tool in his hand to advance his kingdom and let other people know that there's a God who loves them. But what happens is when we hang on to this bitterness, when we hang on to this anger, when we hang on to this unforgiveness, it becomes a weight that we're holding. And it keeps us from doing the thing that God's designed us to do. And he's saying, I want you, not for the other person's sake, I want you for your own sake, to release the weight, the burden that you've been carrying, and allow God to deal with it. Hang on to his truth. And recognize his plan is better than what you think is going on right now. Oh. Giving forgiveness is not forfeiting justice. Do you hear that? So many times we think when we forgive, we've let that person off the hook. You know what I mean? We've let it go, and so now nothing is ever going to happen. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's not giving up. It's not waving the white flag. It's not surrendering. You know what forgiveness really is? When we forgive,
We're appealing to a higher justice, a higher court. You're not dismissing the case. You're appealing to the great Caesar. It's no longer in small claims court now. When you let it go, listen to me what happens here. It's no longer a small claims court because my grievances, my justice, what I'm able to give out as a punishment is small claims court. Do you guys realize that? When I appeal it and let it go, when I say I surrender this, it goes to a higher court. We give it to God. And God is completely just. There's no pulling the wool over God's eyes. Do you hear me? There's no fooling him. There's no lawyer that's going to confuse him. There's no one that can tell a fact that is not true because he sees through all of it. And we have a God who is completely and totally just. And we can trust him in that. This issue of forgiveness is not weakness. It's not us being a wallflower. It's not us giving up. The idea of forgiveness is truly strength. It's truly power. You know why I say that? Because the greatest symbol of strength that I can see looked like the weakest moment in history. By that cross, see, when we're weak, that's when we're strong. That's where God takes over. And that's where we can trust him. You see, when he hung on the cross and at the weakest moment of his entire life, his entire ministry, when it seemed like all was lost and everyone was leaving him and he was completely and totally all alone, do you remember the words that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross, the very last breath that he had? He says what? He says what? What does he say? He says, Father, what? Destroy them? Bring me justice? Take me down? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive. Yeah, Jesus understood the power of forgiveness, the strength that holds in the bowels of forgiveness. It far out exceeds anything that we can imagine. It's not weakness. As a matter of fact, forgiveness is an understanding. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives us a parable. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. I better get my glasses on. My eyes are all teary now. Says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now you got to understand, this is not new. This is not a new struggle, this idea of forgiving. This has been going on from the very beginning of time, Cain and Abel, and all the way through. And this isn't something that I think I'm going to preach a message and you're going to put into practice and it's all going to be great. This is going to be a struggle that we're going to have through the rest of our life, but it's a struggle that God says, you can overcome. You can overcome if you get this one thing in your mind, and the one thing is right here in this parable. Listen to what it says. He says, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. 70 times seven. Or I don't know. I know some of you are mathematicians and you're adding it up and it's like 490. Okay, 490, I'll keep it tally. It's not 490, it's endless. Just keep forgiving. And he gives this parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he will. The king will settle the accounts. Understand that. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents. I don't know if there's a thing for equating how much 10,000 talents is, but it's more than millions. It's a lot. It's a debt that is basically unpayable. Unpayable. Right there, when Jesus said that, the people then in the audience are like, there's no way someone could run up a debt of 10,000 talents. That's impossible. That's way too much. Yep. It is. It's way too much. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him and he says, be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a drop in the bucket. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. He said, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. What we need to understand about this forgiveness is how great our debt is. How massive our sin really is in the eyes of God. Guys, we're the unmerciful servant. We deserve death. Do you understand that? In so many ways, we try to justify who we are and what we've done, but the truth is, we're in debt over our eyeballs in sin. And every day we continue to rack up that debt. And it's hopeless. It's hopeless for us to ever repay that. Do you understand that? But Jesus did it. I can't put into words How amazing that is. I don't have it. No mind can conceive how large that is. What amazing gift. Jesus' blood, his unconditional love that he has lavished on us that we might be considered sons of God. And for us to accept and receive that gift, to receive the forgiveness of that sin, the blood of Jesus who covered us, and then all of a sudden say, but yours is too big for me? Me not to offer that forgiveness to you is ludicrous, is crazy. You see, an unforgiving heart is a heart that doesn't understand the magnitude, the length to which God has gone to extend that grace and forgiveness to you, to me. And he wants to know how much he loves you. It's going to take me a lifetime. It may take me eternity to understand that great love. To understand that great grace. In the meantime, I trust and obey, for there's no other way. He's worthy. Amen. This morning, I know this message is being avoided. I know it is. And I know this message is being tuned out. But it's true. Forgive. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Great mercies we'll see. Trust him. And you'll understand. Let's stand and sing.